Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. I want to talk with you today about the subject of God bringing to pass in your life the very desire of your heart. Have you been praying, perhaps for years, for a specific breakthrough in your life, and yet you have been unable to obtain it or apprehend it, though you know it is God's will for you to have that victory? Today I want to examine with you the story of Hannah as we find it in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah, as you know, was a woman who was barren for many years, and the desire of her heart was to have a child. And yet, for years, this answer did not come. And then we examine what took place, and we can find some very fascinating insight that finally will bring us to the place where we read the words in verse 20 of 1 Samuel that say, "So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son." And I say to you that God wants to bring you to the place where you can say, "So it came to pass in the process of time." Today we're going to talk about the process of time and what needs to transpire so you can come to that place where you can give the report, the testimony of God's goodness in your life, that it came to pass. Reading at verse 1 of 1 Samuel, we find these words. "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.' And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.' And Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now.' Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. I want to point out some things here that will give us great insight into the way that God operates, the way the things happen in the kingdom of God and God's way of doing things, you could say. Here we find Hannah, who had a desire, a very strong desire of her heart, that she would not be barren any longer. And it's a good picture of each one of us as Christians. We have the heart's desire that we would not be barren, but instead that we would be fruitful in our lives. And perhaps the very fruit that you desire, you have not seen in your life. Maybe it's a fruitfulness in your marriage. Perhaps it's a fruitfulness in the relationship with your children, who perhaps are even grown and out of the house. Maybe it's a fruitfulness in your finances or in your career or in ministry. And yet you have not seen that fruitfulness come to pass. And yet it's very clear in the scriptures that God intended for his people to bear much fruit. And the Lord said, Jesus himself said, that he's the vine and we're the branches. And the person who would abide in him would indeed bear much fruit, and that it brings glory to the Father when we bear much fruit. So here we see Hannah bearing no fruit at all, in the sense of having no fruit of the womb coming forth, no children. God desires for each of us to be fruitful, but we may feel like Hannah right now. And perhaps, like Hannah, you have prayed year upon year for God to intervene, for breakthrough to come, and for victory to come in your life, and yet you've seen no sign on the horizon. We see that Hannah, it said, literally went up year after year, and while she was there, she would cry out to the Lord and weep and not eat. God wants us to be fruitful, as he indeed intended for Hannah to be fruitful, as we see as the scripture goes on later on in this chapter. But here she was without an answer, as you may feel right now. What was between Hannah and the place in verse 20 where it says, So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son? What happened in between those two places? What is happening, or what should be happening, between the place where you are crying out for God's answer and the place where you can say in your own life, So it came to pass? Let's examine it piece by piece. First thing that I want to point out to you is that one of the very unique things about this scripture is the love that Hannah's husband had for her. It says that Elkanah would give Hannah a double portion when the time came to go to the temple to make the offering, and they would make the offering of an animal, and it would be roasted in the fire, and then portions would be distributed. And it said that Hannah, he would always give to Hannah a double portion because he loved her. God loves you. He wants you to live in that double portion place in your life, and he's even doing that now in your life. He has blessed you with salvation. He has blessed you with his mercy. He's blessed you with his grace. And in fact, Hannah's name means grace or favor. God favors you. He has grace upon your life. Are you experiencing it? That's his desire for you. Hannah was loved in a very special way by Elkanah, her husband. God loves you in a very special way. And yet Hannah, we see here, was not happy, even though her husband loved her dearly. Many Christians find themselves frustrated and not very happy, even though they know they are loved in a special way by God. God doesn't want you to stay in that place of unhappiness or frustration, but you need to acknowledge God's special love for you in spite of whatever circumstances you may be experiencing. To Hannah, it may not look like she was loved. She had no children. To you, it may seem like, where's God's love in this situation when my prayer has not been answered, or where this thing, this desire of my heart has not come to pass? Don't be deceived and assume that that means that God does not love you. Make sure that you are very clear in believing that God loves you in a very special way, just like Elkanah, Hannah's husband, loved her in a very special way. Make sure you are aware of it. Make sure you acknowledge it to the Lord. Make sure you keep a thankful heart towards God for His special love for you. That is very important if you'll ever get to the place where you can say, it came to pass in my life. Don't be oblivious or ungrateful for God's love for you. Secondly, we observe this interesting thing in verse 6. It says that Hannah's rival provoked her severely to make her miserable because her womb was barren. Do you know that you have a rival in this world, and it's not a human being, but instead it is the enemy of your soul, Satan or the devil? Satan has great envy and jealousy over the people of God. He sees that human beings were made in the image of God, and he despises them because he despises God himself. So he despises the very ones that have been made in his image. So he is constantly looking for a way to provoke you, to torment you, and to make you miserable, exactly as it says happened to Hannah in 1 Samuel verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. Satan may be provoking you severely, pointing out your barrenness, pointing out your lack of victory, pointing out the fact that the thing you've prayed for has not yet come to pass. Are you feeling tormented, provoked severely, made miserable because you're being tormented by the mocking of the enemy of your soul? A very important thing for you then to realize, to understand, and to put into action in your life is that you do not allow the mocking voice of Satan, who will try to provoke you severely, to make you miserable, and to make you hopeless that God's word, His promise of victory will not come to pass in your life. He'll provoke you that way. First of all, you have to recognize that that voice is the voice of a liar. Jesus describes Satan as the father of lies. You have to recognize that that mocking, provoking, and tormenting voice that tries to harass you in your thought life, in your dreams, in your sleep, is the voice of a liar, saying it'll never come to pass, you might as well give up, you might as well forget it, where's any evidence it's ever going to change? Those kinds of thoughts come from the enemy of your soul to torment you and to provoke you and to make you miserable. Understand, first of all, recognize their source. And when you recognize that that's not from God, you can understand what you're to do. We are told in the book of James that we're to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, meaning that you agree with God, you stand with God, you believe God's word, and you have a submitted heart towards God and the things that He says are true. And secondly, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Many Christians fall right here, and they never see their victory come to pass because they crumple when their rival provokes them severely to torment and to make them miserable. We have an adversary in our lives, and that is Satan. And that adversary will try to torment and provoke you severely, pointing out the lack of an answer, or what appears to be the lack of an answer to the cry of your heart and the prayer of your heart to God. Understand, Satan's a liar, and you are to resist him at every turn. The day you give in and say, I guess it's true, when Satan has lied and lied and lied and said it'll never happen, it'll never come to pass, God hasn't answered your prayers, you might as well forget it. The day that you say, that must be true, I have no evidence of anything to the contrary, the day you do that is the day he has won, and you will never see the day come where you can say, so it came to pass. If you have already found yourself in that place and you have already come into agreement with the enemy's lies, stop right now and say, Father God, I confess, believing the lies of the enemy over my life, I confess that as sin. And I break every contract, every covenant or agreement I have ever made, knowingly or unknowingly, with Satan's lies about this situation. And I nail him to the cross with Jesus. And I receive God's victory that he won for me on that cross when he rose from the dead. You must put a stop to agreeing with the lies of the enemy. And you have to confess your agreement with the devil as sin, because it is that. We need to be in agreement with God alone. So first of all, deal with that if it's necessary. Secondly, after you've done that and you're now in right standing, right relationship with God and saying, Lord, I agree with you that you're the God of promise and of blessing, and you are faithful who promised. When you can get yourself to that place, when Satan comes as your adversary to provoke you severely, to try to make you miserable and hopeless, you can say, I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I resist your lies. You're a lying spirit. I will not receive that. I will have my victory. It will come to pass in the process of time. You must answer your adversary with the word of the living God. And then you can go to the next step where you are walking toward the place where it is going to come to pass. So deal with that as need be. Thirdly, we see this in the scripture, that it says in verse 10 that Hannah, having experienced no answer to prayer for all these years, having been provoked by her adversary, weeping and travailing every year when she goes to the temple, and then we see her in this 10th verse in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Let's just take that first part. She was in bitterness of soul. This word means angry, heavy, and discontented. She was angry, and she had a heaviness of heart, heaviness of spirit. She is discontent. She was in the bitterness of soul. It is very important. This is a critical place. Sometimes when we are facing a difficulty in our lives that seems unrelenting, meaning it seems like it'll never end, it seems like victory will never come, it seems like the answer is not on the way, we have to understand, we will come to the place where bitterness can take a hold of our soul. And this is the most dangerous place for any believer to be. God does not want us to stay in the place of bitterness. If you come to that place of bitterness, you have an option. And every person in life will face this in difficulties and in trials and distresses in life, where you can be angry or heavy or discontented. And God wants us to deal with that bitterness in His way. It says in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 12, look diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. God says that we have to be very diligent that we don't fall short of taking hold of the grace of God. The grace of God is not only unmerited favor, it is all of that. But it is also the power of God to do the right thing instead of doing the carnal thing. When you hit a place where bitterness is upon you because of a difficulty, a failure, a disappointment, an unending pressure you're under, and bitterness is literally yawning to take a hold of you, you have this option. You can turn and embrace bitterness and say, God never came through, it never happened, why do I even bother going to church, I can see he doesn't really care for me. Then you have embraced bitterness, and you will never see the cry of your heart, the desire of your heart, the answer you need, the victory you crave. You'll never see it come to pass. However, you can turn and go the other way, and it says, don't fall short of the grace of God, meaning take hold of the grace of God. Hannah's name meant grace. Grace was available to her, and grace is available to you to give you power to do the God thing instead of the carnal thing. Don't let a root of bitterness get a hold of you, because it says in Hebrews 12:15, it'll cause trouble, meaning it'll cause more trouble in your life than you already have seen. And secondly, many become defiled by it. Do you understand that if you let bitterness take a hold of your life, your children will become defiled by that bitterness? Your spouse will become defiled by your bitterness? The people around you will become defiled by that bitterness. Don't go in that direction. Take hold of the grace of God as Hannah did. Look what it says in verse 10. It says she was in bitterness of soul, but she prayed to the Lord. She turned not to the bitterness. She turned to God for help. She wept in anguish. God, don't let me become embraced or embracing a spirit of bitterness. She turned to the Lord. And we see that she turned fully, because in the next verse it says, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you'll indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, remember me and not forget your maidservant, but give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. She made the decision she would not allow bitterness of soul to get a hold of her. Instead, she turned and she took a hold of the grace of God. She prayed, it says. And then we see she made the decision of her will that every person who's in this position in their lives must do the same. She consecrated to the Lord the very thing she had prayed for. Are you praying for a miracle in your finances? Consecrate it to the Lord. Are you praying for a miracle in your marriage? Consecrate it to the Lord. Are you praying for a child and you have been barren for years? Then consecrate it to the Lord. By that I mean this. God wants you to make the dedication that whatever God brings to you, you'll do things His way. You'll give it completely to God. You will not take it and use it for your own lusts of the flesh. You will say, God, I completely dedicate it to you. You're asking for a financial breakthrough, then be prepared to consecrate every dime that God gives you to the Lord to be used for His purposes. Are you crying out for a spouse? Then you pray and you make the consecration. God, as you give me this spouse, this marriage, I will walk in it according to all of your ways. I will dedicate it to being completely a marriage that honors God, that walks not in selfishness like the world walks in marriage, but in selflessness and a dedication to God. God wants you to consecrate the very thing you're praying for to the Lord. Hannah was willing to give up the very thing she cried out to God for. Are you? This will bring you to the place where God can answer you. We find it in verse 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And it says this. She said to Eli the priest, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. What we see here is a place where she came to in her heart that she rested, that God had heard and was going to answer her prayer. You need to come to the place where you can rest in the belief that God has heard your prayer. There is a rest that comes when we are absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has heard our prayer and will answer. That is a step of faith, a decision of your will that you must come to. You don't need to pray over and over and over and over again for the same thing. Pray in faith one time, then let it rest in the hands of God and be confident that God is bringing you to the place where you can say, so it came to pass in my life in the process of time. and trust in God's love for you. You've been careful to resist the enemy's torment and stand in agreement only with God's word and not with the lies of the enemy. You have gotten past the place of bitterness successfully by hanging on to the grace of God, and where you have consecrated the very thing that you prayed for to the Lord. And then you've come to the place of rest where you believe God has heard and will answer. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. God bless you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-KEY-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.